Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
Following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown! Panther!
Panther Talk!
Panther Talk!
Panther Talk!
This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
We're trying to make sure as a coaching staff our purpose is to help each player play better. And so, we're following them day in and day out. You know, the guys are working really hard. I mean, there's a lot of, we're taking advantage of every minute of every day. We're not, this isn't a, country club training camp, and they're answering the call.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
Where rain is banging down outside Bank of America Stadium all over the field and surrounding areas right now. But it was a beautiful day this morning for the Panthers' first padded practice. We got a great show for you tonight. You'll hear from Christian McCaffrey. I say he's got potential. You'll hear from Matt Rhule, Marty Herney, and, of course, the boys in the shop here in the Langtonian Institute of Broadcasting Studios. It's Mick with the Zoke and Jeannie Robb. Eugene, what was that day like? Every training camp when the full gear came on, the pads started popping.
Everybody's excited. There's no doubt about that. You put on the pads for the first time, and now you're ready to go ahead and hit somebody. Now, this is going to be very, very different because since there's no preseason games, you got to get all your work in. You got to get those licks in to get game ready now because there's no preseason games. And so added to the added excitement about, hey, we're going to get ready to go to hit somebody, you're going to have to hit each other for a while until you're able to hit somebody else. And so there's some excitement, but the excitement's going to be delayed because there are no preseason games.
That's a great point, is that with no preseason games, which was the most heavily weighted evaluation tool for preseason, even though they film everything, they tape every practice and every play, they got to make their mark, Eugene, as you said, on the practice field because this is it. There's no scrimmaging with the Bills. Joint practice sessions, things like that. I saw where Nick Chubb, the Browns running back, is being checked out for a concussion. I mean, that should not happen on the first day of practice.
No.
That you're being evaluated for a concussion practicing against your own team. Gerald McCoy, the former Panther, non-related to that, had a one-on-one drill where he pulled his quadricep tendon. He ruptured it, and he's out for the year. But you got to be careful, too, about being excited and trying to do too much, whether it's in a one-on-one drill or in a contact setting like that.
And Mick, let me just add this quickly. You're trying to impress the coach. This is a new system. This is a new coaching staff. They're unfamiliar with a lot of the older players, and the new players are unfamiliar with them, too. So everybody's unfamiliar. So you're trying to go ahead and prove yourself, running around, trying to hustle to every play, trying to get to every ball, trying to make yourself known, particularly if you are one of those guys, free agent, bubble, not the established guys. And so you got a lot to lose, and every practice is going to be scrutinized. Every practice is going to be paramount, that if you make mistakes in practice, that's your ticket home. So you got to be really clean as a football player. So there's a lot of anxiety and stress that's associated with the first day of practice, pads and everything, and trying to make an impression.
Thought about that too, the question of, well, how is this year, how's that undrafted, little-known, unheralded guy from the Pivnik Tech Fighting Oysters who made all-conference 3 years in a row, how's he going to come out of nowhere, start lighting people up and make the team? I think the answer is this year maybe he doesn't.
Yes.
Maybe next year he does, because this year the opportunities with, as Eugene and Zoke said, no preseason games and just less contact overall.
I think the only good news for players like that is the expanded practice squad, right? So from 10 to 16, at least for, you know, six times 32 teams, opportunities for young players like that to at least land on a practice squad this year.
This is our broadcast roundtable. We love it. Brought to you by Geico. Go to geico.com, spend a quarter of an hour, and they can save you big, 15% or more on your car insurance. What did you see out there today, Zoke, that impressed you?
You know, this was the first practice I attended. They opened it up Sunday to the media, so today was my first one, being the full padded practice today. And as advertised, what a quick tempo for practice that it is. There's no wasted time or motion. They truly run between things that happen if they're not getting a water break out there. The music comes on to create a little buzz, a little energy and excitement, but then it's cut down when Coach Rhule has something to say, if he stops in the middle of a set that they're doing to instruct or do something like that. But yeah, had a lot of pep, a lot of energy to it. And you can see the guys are buying in. I mean, they were celebrating touchdown after touchdown. If the offense scored, if the defense made a play, they're celebrating that. So it felt like there was a lot of just kind of brotherhood bonding and just a positive vibe overall about guys happy to be out there playing football and everybody on the same page.
All of us like Coach Rivera. We enjoyed working with him so much, and he was pure class in every way. Eugene talked eloquently about how, especially early in Coach's career, Coach impressed him as the kind of a coach that Eugene, as the player, could try to give everything he had for. Does Matt Rhule hit you in some of the same ways, Jeannie Rob?
Absolutely. I think that really Matt Rhule is going to really endear himself to not only the city and all the fans, but to the players themselves, because there's such a demeanor about him and an atmosphere that he's creating where he's allowing the players to go ahead and lead. I mean, there's been talk about Teddy Bridgewater taking control, taking command. Well, your head coach has to give you that right to do that. Your head coach has to give you the latitude to go ahead and be that leader. We've heard him talk about that. He believes that players make plays. Well, to me, as I'm listening to, and this is via Zoom and all of the stuff that we've been watching, I'm like, this guy right here I want to play for. This guy right here is going to give me some latitude to go ahead and bust a man legally in the mouth. And so, and to really change the narrative that's been here last year about a team that's not been very good against the rush and all the other things. So I think that these guys are liking what he's selling. And I think that they're going to go ahead and play for him lights out. There's no doubt about that. And during this pandemic and all the stuff that we've been facing here, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you go out there and say, hey, let me give everything I got, coach, because I want to be here long term.
Did you happen to see the video of him with the tackling drill today?
Oh, no, I didn't
see that. The bubble. Go look it up during the break. So he's out there, and the players like Derek Brown are going through. They go to the tackling dummies where they slap one, slap two, slap three, then tackle the quarterback or tap the quarterback dummy. And he went and did it. And one of them he kind of bounced off of, and then he just flat-out tackled the quarterback, tackling dummy out there. But, I mean, how do you not, as a player, love to see a coach just get down? I mean, coach, he played at Penn State. To see him go out there and just participate in that way.
Absolutely. And that gets you all charged up, too, because, I mean, coaches always want to go ahead and try to mimic or try to demonstrate this is how it needs to be done. And when they do that, as a player, you go like this, okay, let me show you how it really needs to be done. And so you get that, but you love the effort because they are teachers by nature. They're coaches, but you can tell that he has that, I'm a teacher. I'm a guy who's going to teach you the little ins and outs. See, I saw some film on Burns doing that same drill. Burns looked extremely fast. My goodness, was he like, he was like Deion Sanders fast, running through people, hitting the dummies, and going swim over, underarm, rip through. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Then he gets to the dummy and knocks it down. I'm like, this dude right here is electric. And I think that sells. And I bet you that Burns and everybody else, whether they're all the other guys are sitting like this, let me go ahead and show them what I can go ahead and do.
He had a press conference moment, too. We got to go to break. But he had a press conference moment the other day where a reporter said, Coach, do you have a depth chart for your defensive secondary? Now, a lot of coaches could go Bob Knight on that and say,
throw a chair.
Do we have a depth chart for our secondary? No, what do you think? We have a Ouija board? Son, this is a National Football League. We need a depth chart. What's the matter with you?
OUIJA.
But coach,
that might be your two response.
It may be. That's right. When pressure, if pressure mounts, but Coach Rhule took it and was so patient and talked about how he tells the players, look, if you're on first, if you're on second or third team, that's not a tattoo. It's not permanent. You know, you can change your status on the team. So it's been a joy so far. All right, let's step aside. We will hear from Coach Matt Rhule when we come back. This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins, and we'll be back right after these messages on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
In trouble, tripped up, sack.
Pocket evaporating.
Dragged down, moves up, hit, and laced at the 20-yard line.
Most of us learn from failure way more than success, right? So sometimes you have to go out there and get beat, and then you say, oh, okay, you know, all right, I learned from it. I'm not going to make this mistake again. We don't even have preseason games to do that, so we have to do it from practice. So that's going to be the challenge. We're going to have to count on some of our veteran players to make sure that they hold a standard of, hey, here's how we're going to practice, guys. Here's how we're going to play. But I just think we need time and experience. We just need to keep playing together.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Welcome back to Panther Talk. And the time on our show we get to talk some ball with the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule. And Coach, welcome in. We'll break down your first day in full pads here in a second, but there's a rumor going around that you adjusted your schedule for your staff today to accommodate the first day at school for those who have kids. What did you do, and what motivated you to do it?
Well, I mean, this is a year where we're not away at Wofford. You know, I think about everything that's happened with COVID and the impact on kids. You know, I think about all the players who are new to the area. Think about all the coaches and staff who are new to the area. So everyone's got different times this week. You know, I just told all the coaches and staff, you know, take your kids to school, you know, set your kids up if they're in online virtual schools, you know, have breakfast with them and get them set up on the computer and then come in afterwards, you know? And so I just think it's really important that our kids know that they come first. And specific to our players, I want to make sure that our players know that we think that who they are as people and fathers is important to us. So a couple of guys did it today. I'm sure a couple of guys will do it tomorrow. You know, we practiced late enough that guys were able to do that and get to practice. And I really appreciated KK and Mike doing that well today.
Panther fans are getting to know you, Coach, as a worker, a grinder, kind of a gym rat that you are. But where on a list of things that you're proud of does being a father and a husband rank?
Well, I mean, that's my number one job. You know, I always tell the players, you know, one of my goals someday is that my kids will say, you know, hey, you know what, my daddy loved me. I might not be perfect, but my daddy tried. And, you know, I was blessed with great parents. And so, you know, I certainly want to make sure that I'm a great parent to my kids.
How amazing a person does a woman have to be the wife of an NFL coach?
There's no doubt, especially in the circumstances of this year. You know, Julie has been amazing, but she's always been amazing, and you know, she's a special person, and she does a great job with our kids, and she's interesting and funny and all just a ton of things in her own right as well.
Seems that Coach, we'll move on from this, and it's just one more question. Will you favor us with the eye doctor story that happened to you?
Oh yeah, I had an eye doctor's appointment. I got up, I went there at 7 o'clock this morning, and they walked out and they said, you know, Coach, your appointment's on Tuesday. I said, yeah, I know. And they said, well, it's Monday today. And unfortunately, the schedule, you know, how things go in camp, I forgot which day it was. So I'll be there again tomorrow, bright and early, ready to go, and hopefully I'll do a better job of checking my iPhone before I go anywhere.
That's understandable, as busy as you are. All right, Coach, so today, the first day of a padded practice, what were you looking for out of your ball club, and what did you see from them?
I was pleased with them. You know, I'm just, you know, we're trying to see a bunch of guys that are getting better, that are just trying to get a little bit better at something specific each and every day. And, you know, we want to play hard and play fast and be physical. At the same time, we want to have great detail and do our jobs at a high level. So certainly nothing's perfect, but we are getting better. And that's all I can ask from these guys.
How carefully then do you and your staff grade the tape from today?
I mean, we go through everything. I really have only one rule, and that's if we tape it, we watch it, you know. So, but I got a staff full of guys that really grind and work at it and evaluate the tape and give feedback. And we have a bunch of players who
come right up and watch it on their own. They, you know, that's the great thing about the Carolina Panthers. You know, these guys want to be really good, and so they're working hard at it. So, you know, we learn from it. You know, I always try to tell the guys that, you know, it's not good or bad. It's just it is what it is. We just have to keep getting better.
Matt Rhule on Panther Talk tonight. Coach, how much contact do you believe in mixing in the preseason?
Well, you know, there's no preseason games this year, so I think that really alters everything. And, you know, really contact is important for, you know, up front on the offensive line, blocking. And it's really important for the defense, obviously. You know, the ability to tackle is crucial. But you can't tackle every day or you'll be hurt. So, you know, you sit there and you try to make sure that you're thudding. You try to have some periods where you tag off, some periods where you thud. Most importantly, if guys are running to the ball and they have great angles, you know, then when the time comes for it to be live, you know, you feel really good about their ability to get the guys down.
What's the rookie class showing you so far, Coach?
That they like football. They're talented. We got a bunch of really good players in there. You know, in our situation, we're going to be counting on some of them right now. And so they just need to keep grinding and working and getting better and better and better. And if they play the game the right way, you know, if they play the game fast and hard and physical, then you know what? We'll find a way to put them in good positions and let them just go play.
All three quarterbacks look like they've got pretty live arms right now. Do you and your staff keep the quarterbacks on kind of a pitch count to make sure their shoulders stay fresh?
Yeah, and you know those three guys also do a great job of recovering and activating, you know, and taking care of themselves. But you know, everything that we do, we try to just microdose it. We introduce a little bit at a time so that those guys are always going to be fresh. So I think we have a good schedule. I think our guys will be ready when the season comes.
It's always fun to talk to you, Coach. We got the whole season, of course, or we hope we do to talk Panther football with you each Monday night. But let's end this with a special teams question. Just, you know, with your iPhone out, and I'm looking at Joseph Charlton. He looks like he's got, to my untrained eye, a lot of 4.6s, some 4.7s. Might you have found something in this free agent punter from South Carolina?
Oh yeah, I mean, he's going to be a really good player. I mean, you know, Marty said it really early on that he liked him. That he's got a really, really strong leg, and you know, he's like all the other rookies. You know, he's got to go through the ups and downs of camp and just become really process oriented. You know, take it one snap, one kick, one hold at a time. But he can really, really boom the ball and has a lot of talent. And we're excited to just keep working with him.
Sounds like you're still having fun being our head coach, are you, Matt?
Oh yeah, this is the greatest thing in the world, and it's, you know, it's the football now, which is what I like. So obviously, getting out there on the grass and coaching them, and having a team full of guys that likes to compete, I think that makes it a lot of fun.
It's contagious, Coach. Thanks again for your time, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thank you very much.
This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice. Where do we get that guy anyway? He must have smoked a lot to get his vocal cords all stretched out.
Rick Mixon.
You can do it, Dizzo.
Does that pay extra to get that job? Or is that just part of my... Yeah, I don't want to do it. If it's just one more thing to do.
It's the national foot. They say the more you can do.
It's one more thing to do.
Well, if my job hinges on it, absolutely. I don't have a good attitude about it.
So Matt Rhule... changing the schedule this morning to let the dads participate. Well, how's that resonate with you, Jeannie Robinson?
Absolutely outstanding. Because I mean, you know, he already alluded to that he's a husband and he's a father. And so when you are doing something like that where you're allowing time for dads to go home and attend to their children and then make football the second priority and the first priority is your kids, that goes a long way. It kind of reverberates in that locker room that this is my guy because he's concerned about my family. And who would not want to run through a wall for a guy like that? Who would not want to go ahead and be on time for a guy like that? Who wouldn't, when a guy's giving that much latitude to take care of your family, particularly during a pandemic where kids have a lot of anxiety and stress and needs daddy at the home? I think that's absolutely outstanding. Kudos to you, Coach. That was a big move.
And, you know, it's like a small thing, but it's a big thing.
Yes.
Because something like that, when you talk about somebody's kids and the first day of school, that resonates in a big way. And he said whether it was to take your child to school physically for those who have that, and or if it was virtual just to get them on their computer, I thought that was great. My daughter's 24, so I took advantage of that today and just extended that to myself, even though she's actually graduated. But I thought was cool.
An NFL locker room is an interesting ecosystem. Eugene knows it well. Zoki and I have just been on the fringes of it, peering in at this fishbowl with these alpha males, these grown kids that are so talented at different things. And it almost seems like they're looking for reasons, not in a mean way, but they're looking for reasons to get off the train, to not trust you, to not buy in, to gab fest behind a coach's back, a new coach who hasn't coached in the NFL. I don't want this show to sound like, you know, the Matt Rhule love fest necessarily, but I mean, he's come in and has, I think, really done a good job of building some consensus downstairs.
Well, they do these daily Zoom meetings where they have at least two players, and it's basically 6 days a week. And you hear to a person, whether it's somebody that's like a 30-year-old player or if it's a second-year player, the respect and the buy-in they have, and then he reciprocates it the way he talks about his players. So I do feel like it's a team in the truest sense in terms of the mutual respect, and that mutual respect is earned by what you're saying makes sense. Sound football sense and philosophies.
And here's going to be one of the biggest keys is that Coach Rhule is consistent throughout this season, that his word is his bond. What he says, he means, and he goes by it. And so when he's able to even show that in the face of adversity, that really cements the legacy and cements the bond and trust that those guys will have for him.
All right. Injury updates are brought to you by Ortho Carolina. Eugene, as I mentioned, Coach Rhule has an eye appointment tomorrow. Wide receiver Keith Kirkwood's shoulder, reports of broken clavicle, and Andrew Vollert, the newly acquired tight end, also day-to-day with a head injury. Your personalized orthopedic care begins with the click of a mouse. Schedule your next appointment online at orthocarolina.com. Ortho Carolina, your care, your way.
Christian McCaffrey in the Panther Talk Spotlight when we come back next on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Handoff goes to McCaffrey, middle crowded, stiff arm, takes it to the right, and he leaps and somersaults into the end zone for the touchdown.
You know, waiting that long for football, I was getting very anxious towards the end there, and now that it's here, you know, obviously with the new team, new coaching staff, everybody in the building all together, you know, obviously we have to abide by the rules of COVID, and I think our team's doing an amazing job at that, but just being around the guys, getting back to football, it's been, you know, really fun, long overdue for us.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Zoki, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Now beginning his fourth NFL season, Christian McCaffrey is entering his natural prime as a running back, and he's excited to be doing that as a part of a Joe Brady-coordinated offense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we have so many weapons on offense, you know, from the receiver position to the tight end position, you know, to a very talented offensive line, and obviously Teddy, a quarterback. So, you know, for us, it's just about execution. You know, I say it year in and year out, but that's the truth of it. You know, with talent, it's you know, half the battle. And now it's about what we do with talent and, you know, how we execute, how we practice, and, you know, how we go about communicating. And if we get all that down, I think we can be really excited.
How has Teddy Bridgewater impressed him so far?
Well, Teddy's a pro. I think that's the word I would use. Obviously, he's very gifted. I think you look at what he does every single day in practice and his attention to detail, where he throws the ball, you know, after he makes the throw, going through all his progressions. You know, I saw him today before practice. He's in the ice tub with the script going over, you know, all his progressions. So to have a guy like that who's so dialed in is exciting for us. And you know, he's got an amazing attitude, and he's fun to be around, great leader. So for us, I think we're all really excited. He's a guy that we can all rally behind.
The next question is about Christian McCaffrey's role in this new offense.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm, you know, I just know I have a lot of trust in our coaches. You know, they've had a, you know, history of success, and they're going to put, you know, our best players in the position to succeed and put the ball in guys' hands who can do something with it. So for me, it's, you know, I'm ready to line up anywhere, run any route. And I think just continuing to expand my knowledge of the offense and the knowledge of the receiver position and the running back position and the blocking schemes helps a lot. It allows me to feel comfortable, you know, wherever they need to put me.
McCaffrey and others got together for an informal mini camp a couple of weeks before training camp started.
Well, it's huge. You know, I think in times like this where, you know, obviously the coronavirus has everybody social distancing, you know, we were very safe with it, but we knew that we didn't want the first pass to be day one of training camp. We didn't want the first time we get to know each other, be the first day of training camp. So, you know, we went out in groups, and Teddy had sent out a group chat, and guys would show up, and, you know, we had our own little, you know, rules that we would abide by. But just getting routes out there with everybody, getting familiar with each other, you know, understanding, you know, each guy's playing differences, similarities, and going from there. So it made the transition going into camp after such a long time off much easier.
Known as an avid but a private personal goal setter, McCaffrey was asked about his goal setting process.
You know, first off, reevaluate this season when the season ends and kind of go through some notes on what I can improve on and what I can do to get better, and focus on some of those during the off season. But really it goes, you know, season to season. Like I'll have monthly goals, you know, in the weight room or on the track or on the field. I'll focus on a couple of things here and there that I really want to get better at each day, kind of go in with intention to focus on, you know, a couple little things here and there that I can improve on. And it's really nonstop. And then when the season starts, that's kind of when I'll set my, right before camp is when I'll set, you know, my personal goals, my team goals, and go from there.
And now away from football for a second, the Panthers have announced a voting initiative featuring nonpartisan early voting here at Bank of America Stadium. How does McCaffrey feel about that?
You know, voting is something that it gets taken for granted, but it's a way for every citizen to have a voice, you know, and I think it's very important that we all vote, that we all, you know, do our part as citizens of wherever we're from and research what's going on, learn about what's going on, and then use your knowledge and your opinion in your vote. So, you know, I love this organization because we don't take that stuff lightly and we don't, you know, brush it to the side. And that's something that I know Coach Rule takes a lot of pride in. And I think from the top down, it's something that this whole entire organization, you know, even going to the locker room, takes a lot of pride in as well.
McCaffrey is a worker. That's how he was raised. That's all he knows. So if you want to talk about a reduced workload to save him for the future, well, just don't let him hear about it. Stay tuned. Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues right after this.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Chucking, bucking, mad at it. Got it. Touchdown. 40, 35, ball loose, fumble. Picked up by Carolina. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Got it. Touchdown.
Man, I think we're learning every day, you know, just about where people fit, how to get the most out of each and every guy. Guys are doing a great job of learning the system, learning each other. So, you know, I've been really pleased with that part of it. I think our guys have the right mentality. They're working hard.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Mick Mixon joined now by the esteemed general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney. And our visit follows the first padded practice, full pads, with new head coach Matt Rhule. Marty, is in terms of the tempo, the energy, the organization, et cetera, is there something different about a Matt Rhule practice?
Well, I mean, it's just, it's the, where I appreciate it a lot is, I think it's very easy to get a good evaluation of everybody from starters all the way through. And it's, you know, it's all three units get reps. There's a lot of competitive situations in it. And you can see guys, you know, we put guys in positions to get stressed, how they react. There's a lot of good things to evaluate. And we talked about that last week, Mick, is as far as no preseason games, it's going to be very important that we be able to make good evaluations during our practice sessions. And there are so many competitive parts of practice. I mean, that's what Matt stresses is compete and puts them in situations that we can see that and evaluate players.
A couple of times today, and it's happened before, not just a padded practice, but Coach Rhule doesn't seem to hesitate to stop practice and upbraid a position group, a player, even his own staff, if he feels like his standard is not being met. What does this say about his confidence and traction as your head coach?
Well, I think we have a whole staff full of teachers, and I think, you know, Matt sets the tone for it, that we're going to get 1% better every day. That's the goal. And I think that, you know, details we talked about last week, details matter. They're important. And I think it carries all through the coaching staff, and our players get coached through practice about the details and about playing with effort and playing hard and every snap is like a game snap. So no, it's been very fun to watch, and it helps very much when you're trying to evaluate guys at every position.
What'd you see out there today, Marty?
I really thought that there were some good things on both sides of the ball. I think that our line play on both sides, we'll probably have some hard decisions. We've got right now, I think that we feel that we've got some depth on both sides of the ball. The one-on-ones are very interesting to watch. Guys like Brian Burns and KK and really the whole defensive front, the young guys like Derek Brown and Etor on the defensive line are fun to watch. There's a lot of young players. There's a lot of guys that are learning, but they're playing fast. They're learning fast. And if we make a mistake, we make it 100 miles an hour. But that's how you learn, is to do that. So I think that for the first pad of practice, this is the time of year you want to – OTAs and mini camps just ended. Training camp just started today. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, when you evaluate, you want to be patient. You want to have a number of practices and views put together, even though, you go back to the virtual meetings and what we did without pads, and now we start pads today. But you really want to let it come to you and just keep an open mind and evaluate, and that's what we're doing at this point.
Recent roster move, three new Panthers added. What do you like about the new Panthers that you've brought in?
Well, we're always going to, Pat Stewart and Matt Allen, our pro staff, we're always going to try to constantly see if we can upgrade, the roster, the bottom half of the roster. And at this point, you're dealing with 80 players. And I think with Tommy Lee Lewis, you get a player who is extremely quick and fast and has sudden movements. And he's 5'6", but he can change direction. He's explosive. He has return punts. He plays receiver. He knows the offense. So we like that about him. Mark and Michelle, Pat knew him from Philly a couple years ago. In the workout, he really showed some explosion and some first step quickness. He's got some physicality about him as a runner. He's got a powerful stride. And then Andrew Vollert, the tight end that we got that was cut by San Diego a week ago. He's 6.055, 243 pounds, 33 test score, can get down the seam. He's very athletic. Runs in the 4.6s, so we thought we'd bring him in and, just have him compete at the tight end position. So that's what we're looking for, Mick, is just to try to increase the competition any way we can, anywhere we can.
Tommy Lee Lewis, a former Saint, and for those who do not know, Mark and Michelle, the brother of Sony Michelle, the New England Patriots star. The media, Marty Herney's been just falling all over themselves about the speed at wide receiver and the speed in the defensive secondary. Let's start with wide receiver. Do you see it the same way?
Well, I think we started that a couple years ago, and that's always been, I learned from Bobby Bethard. Bobby Bethard always preached speed. I think Matt Rhule believes in speed. If you're not fast, you're slow. So I think that – I don't think that that's something the Carolina Panthers have a patent on. I think you have to be fast. You have to have team speed in this league to compete. And, yes, our emphasis is always going to be on faster rather than slower. But there's a lot of other things that go into that as well. It's competitiveness. It's toughness. It's play strength. So you have to really evaluate all those things. But – when you get a guy who can run, he's got a good head start on people because, you have to be able to play fast in this league.
Yeah, I assume you sort of covered the secondary. I assume the same principles apply. So let's wrap up this way, Marty Herney on Panther Talk. Last week you said you felt COVID-19 the safest in a way when you were at work because of all the measures here at the stadium. I kind of thought maybe you were a little bit crazy, but I've started to feel the exact same way. Do you still feel good about what's been going on here to try to keep everybody safe and about the future of an NFL season?
I feel very good about that. I don't know whether if I phrase it that way, I have to apologize to my wife because she's one of those people. She has kept us as safe as possible at home. So let's call it a tie. But yes, it's extremely, I mean, the job that they have done here at the stadium, as far as using all four floors and spacing and just, you know, our constant reminders to wear masks, I think everybody feels very good about our work environment here.
Well, you know, we love you, and we would never want to lead you into any headaches with the general manager of the general manager, your wife. So I'm glad you straightened that out, Marty. We appreciate it. Thanks for all you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you practice tomorrow.
Thanks, Mick. We'll do.
The boss, the big kahuna of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney. Don't that clutch you? He didn't want his wife to think that he felt safer at work.
No, that was good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good because we have to realize sometimes things we say on the radio are heard by our wives. And then you get home and you make a funny offbeat comment, and then you get home like, oh, that's all right. That's everybody can listen.
I've never worried about what my wife thinks about anything I say on the radio. Oh, hold on. I'm getting a phone call here. Hello? Yes, dear. Okay, just a minute, dear. Got to go to break.
She agreed with your comment. It was safer here at the stadium for you.
So why don't I stay here indefinitely?
Yes. Why don't you just stay through training camp? You used to stay at training camp. You could do it.
I know.
You could stay here.
Many times, yes. Go to the
mattress. You get lost here.
So here's the question. I have a CMC question for both of you.
All right.
A Christian McCaffrey question. I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure. So I'll give you the question. You can think about it. Actually, no. I'm going to give you the question, and then you don't get to think about it, but we'll get your spontaneous answers when we come back. This is Panther Talk presented by Morris Jenkins.
This is Panther Talk presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here's the question. I want your answers, and we can handle the truth.
Okay.
It's about Christian McCaffrey. So would you, A, try to limit his touches, limit the number of licks he takes, and try to preserve this exquisitely talented athlete for future teams that might be deeper and better? Or do you just go ahead and throw a leg over the stallion and just ride it and see where it takes you?
So you're talking game day.
Right.
Not like practices and trying to limit practices and that
right.
kind of thing.
Game action. How much do you use him?
I think, Eugene, I would still use – I know he did like 93% of the snaps last year, so maybe not that many. But I would keep it close to that range because that's what you just paid $64 million for. So to me, he's the centerpiece of the offense. And I don't think you ever go into a season going, man, we're not really going to win this year. I think coaches and players always believe they're going to win until proven otherwise. So to me, I think you go into thinking you're going to win game one against the Raiders, and then you're going to win game two against the Chargers. So to me, I think you play to win. Otherwise, why prepare for the game every week? So I think they use him because he is the centerpiece of the offense, close to what they had last year.
And, Mick, it'll be a slap in the face if you don't use him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that man has already said that how he prepares, if we heard the interview, and what he does, how he's working on things day by day. And so to have that level of study and that little of ferocity, that little of passion about football, and then limit what he does would be a slap in the face. Every football player wants to be out there to show what they can do. Tomorrow's not even promised to you. It's not promised to anybody at all. And he wants to go ahead and make his mark. This young man is the future of the Carolina Panthers. He is one of the best backs that we've seen in a very, very long time. And to put him on the shelf to protect him would not be protecting him. I think it would be hurting him.
Also, I jumped ahead. Tampa Bay's week two, and then it's the Chargers. But I would use him in all three of those games.
Of course.
Because he's
well
a very good football player.
Well said by both of you, but doesn't this offense want to be multiple? Doesn't it want to be unpredictable? Doesn't it want to use multiple weapons to get the ball down the field?
He is all that, though. He is multiple weapons. I mean, he can be used in any capacity. Run the ball. He can catch the ball, but he's also a willing blocker, which you don't usually mm-hmm. see. Am I right, Eugene?
Absolutely.
You don't usually see elite, like, Barry Sanders kind of running backs as willing blockers or decoys when asked to do that.
And this means the other guys just gonna have to step up too, because if I'm DJ Moore, if I'm Curtis Samuels, I'm like, look, let me get the rock. Let me show you what I can go ahead and do. And so that's gonna only make others better. MOB making other players better. And that's what Christian McCaffrey does. He wants those guys to raise their game. You got to raise your game up to where he's at, because this young man is stellar. He is the one of the best backs that we've seen in a long time.
Makes sense. We'll talk about Teddy Bridgewater and more components about the offense, and we'll touch on the Panther defense and special teams when we come back with more Panther Talk next.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
The guys and I call your attention to Panthers.com, a Teddy Bridgewater podcast, where he talks so honestly and so intelligently about how he felt like he embarrassed himself when he first got the call to come in out of the bully for Drew Brees. Saints were playing the Rams, and Bridgewater said he just played awful football, and then that was a life-changing experience for him. He realized he had to raise the level of his preparation. Eugene, Zook, how quickly do you think Panther fans will take to Teddy Bridgewater?
I think they're already taken to him. I think what we've heard in practice, what we heard just from him being here about the consummate pro that he is, taking control in the locker room, leading by example. This is a young ball club, and you need somebody to really step into the gap and to take control. And that typically is your quarterback or your middle linebacker. It's somebody who of note. And the fact that we see his work ethic behind the scenes, staying after him, making sure he throw the ball. We've heard Christian McCaffrey said he's in the whirlpool and he's studying his playbook. All right? The playbook gets wet in the whirlpool. All right, and he's there studying his playbook. So it just tells me that this guy is very, very serious. And we saw him last year as he came in for Drew Brees. He was absolutely stellar. The guy can play and throw the rock.
All the things you said, he oozes leadership. And I think a word that's underrated in the NFL especially, and it matters more at this level than college or anywhere else, is fit. And he fits. I mean, they identified him being in New Orleans as a fit to the Joe Brady offense, to what Matt Rhule wants to do here. And then you build around that. I mean, you decide this is what we're trying to do. These are the players. And sometimes a player dictates the other way, where you're going to design around what they, like a Christian McCaffrey, what you're going to do with them. However, he fits what's here. And maybe Teddy Bridgewater wouldn't be the perfect fit for all teams out there, but he fits what they're trying to do here and what a young team needs from the direction and leadership you're talking about.
P.J. Walker can sling it. Very live arm. Saw Brandon Zylstra make some nice catches today. I think the speed at receiver is legit, but we've got about a minute left. Let's talk about the defense. It's going to be just green as a gourd. So, so young. How do you think they'll perform, Eugene?
You know, quickly, I was looking at the defensive ends, and all the defensive ends are right around 250 pounds. I mean, right in that area, 250, 235, 265. They're really not that big. And what's going to be really telltale, because I know that K.K. Short and Brown will hold it down in that interior line, but with all the speed we have on the outside, when you have to set the edge, you got to make sure that you got big shoulders, set the edge, and squeeze that ball. So it's going to be really incumbent upon our defensive ends to squeeze the ball inside so the linebackers can flow and make plays along with that safety and not get pushed out. So I don't want them to get happy getting sacks. I want them to do their job against the run, and then you'll get some sacks.
I'll just, to the secondary, I'm going to take it. It's going to be, this is almost, this is the year it's got to be for Dante Jackson, who fell back last year a little bit. And then a guy like Eli Apple, who's on his third team in 5 years, a top 10 pick in this league. You know, those guys, Jackson and Apple, need to be playing the way that they were expected to play when they were drafted where they were.
And maybe Trey Boston can come out of his shell.
Exactly. And, maybe grow his hair out.
I like
year.
TB. I
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Good show, guys. Thank you for Eugene, for the Zoke, for the rest of our crew, for David Langton, our executive producer. This is Mick Mixon. You've been listening to Panther Talk, a presentation of the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This has been Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench.
Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.